Hello?
Mr. President, Mr. Coleman. Mr. President.
Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
I thought you'd be at the football game.
No, I'm just, staying home doing a little reading.
Oh, my God. Well, that's,
this thing in appendix?
Yeah. Well, I just got back from New York, got a...
What are you doing?
Studying for my, meet the Pine people in about an hour.
Ah, good, for the connection with
yeah.
The man of the year.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I think that'll, set the time well spent.
Oh, yes, well, they'll,
There'll be a good impact for that.
I hope so.
You've sure dropped a few bombshells in the last, 24 hours.
Just a second. Well, the really big thing, of course, it is not understood by people, but it's really a massive achievement is what Conway did with that group of 10. You know, he shoved that thing. I really didn't think he'd make it this trip. I thought he'd take another meeting, but he just beat him, cajoled him, and finally got an agreement. And then that's so I delayed my trip to New York by 20 minutes and went over. And,
it was beautiful.
I thought it was a way to do it.
Oh, it
was his suggestion, and I said, by golly, we'll do it.
Well, I think it played very well, and I think if we... I talked today with Gregor about talking to the congressional leaders, and I also talked to the people at Treasury about getting them the materials, because I think what we really need to do now is to reduce this to something that the average person will understand. Everybody knows he's got a monetary system. The press has played it very favorably to it, and I think everybody knows it's effective. And now we've got to explain to them really what it means.
Peterson will be very good in that, and talking about it in terms of jobs.
And what we did with him on Friday, fortuitously, the timing turned out in the group, is we brought in all the financial records to have an on-the-record talk with him about what this means in terms of what it would mean in terms of jobs, and we embargoed it for tomorrow. We could get a story going tomorrow and second day, which now turns out to the kind of turns out to be very helpful. And we just have got to get him out front. I want to get him on the television show.
Right, and running out of jobs,
right.
Not no rise in the cost of living.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think the cut was extraordinary. In fact, that's me. I find it almost hard to believe that it could be that good. But I think he's had a hell of a week. That picture of you with that Cuban gal was one of the warmest, most touching stories that we've had in a long time. A little bit like the picture with that black at the conference of youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I played very heavily every time I came to the newspaper player. And it was very interesting. And his television plays good. And with good economic news this week, too. It was wrapping up the Congress. He was winning just about everything. It really was a hell of a way to end the year. It's been damn good. I think, Mr. President, we may have Salon at a CBS.
Hope so.
Well, Friday night, I got a call. A very secret call. Yes, we may not have to talk about it, but we had won it. And then we were going to move him up to corporate and put in a new president. It would be amazing. Because he's been such an incredible antagonist.
Well, CBS, as a matter of fact, we've got to say, in terms of our own situation, has been very good this last week on many things, you know.
Well, isn't it interesting how it goes through the process?
It does, that's right. But they're going to do the Christmas show is theirs. And of course, they get the Rather show, so we're being very good to them, too.
Well, they're bending over backwards on the Christmas show. They're going to promote the hell out of that here. They've released a whole sequence of stills from it, which I understand Time is going to carry tomorrow. They're running a major newspaper ad campaign for it. They're releasing your Christmas message at the end to the other networks. They are going to run it in advance of the special on the Today Show and on
course, it's their advantage because they want to have their show in competition with the NBC's, you know, on the 21st.
That's right. But if I come back to that point, it's a hell of a week. They're both promoting NBC. Chancellor's been a dandy. He's been on and run segments of the Today Show. He's documented. It's interesting how the cycle goes. You know, for about 3 weeks after the tour ended, we just caught unshirted hell from CBS.
Sure.
Their coverage was absolutely disgraceful. And in the last week, it is completely switched in. And I personally think it's because he made his grand stand and lost. Over the long pull of the next 10 months, it's going to be awfully important.
Yeah.
I could tell you some stories that I've gotten out of inside of CBS that are just appalling. He really has personally put me through this. So I'm delighted that we're getting out of it.
Right.
Most of your economic information in the week was certainly strong. I don't know if you saw the wrap-up on the stock market on Friday and also the UPI survey.
I didn't see what the stock on Friday was.
Well, what they said was that the stock was going to be very strong.
What did it come out? What does it stand at?
73 or 4, I guess. 870, almost 872. But the weekend wrap-up for the economic business analyst said that investors were heartened by the continuous flow of bright economic news and by the hope of the new international monetary agreement that is forming an industry. So I think it was a good attempt. And I think after now that that's been settled, and Hilton talking about the GNP business.
Yeah, that it won't come out for a while, I guess, but that does indicate something. I was reading the, of course, McCracken's reports, and you know, must say, when he gives you the stuff on the retail sales and all the rest, it still comes out pretty goddamn, modest, doesn't it? He just can't really bring it up, but maybe that's the way it is, who knows?
Well, I've got the charts in front of me that's paralleling this year and last year.
Yeah.
And when you consider that 1970, there was no gain over 1969 retail sales during that period of time. And this year, it is running consistently 11-12% ahead of last year.
That must mean something.
Of course, that's reflected in the GNP. In fact, hell of a strong figure. I don't know what it would take to get Paul McCracken very excited, but seems to me that if it runs 11% for the last quarter ahead of the year, that's a tremendous growth.
Right.
A lot of money coming back into the economy.
Yeah.
The VA insurance, the excise tax, I think Mr. President, if we just get, if that GNP trend continues, 1972
will be a hell of a year. Schultz is greatly concerned on the money supply thing. He got another, he said for a while there, Arthur seemed to do something, and then he didn't follow it up.
I'll tell you precisely what he did. The week following your talk, he increased the money supply by $500 million. The week after that, he decreased it by $300 million. The week after that, he decreased it by another $100 million. And today, precisely the same position we were in last July.
Yeah.
Milton Friedman.
I saw his letter, yeah.
Gets
around.
Well, all the time.
I don't know what we can do. I mean, Arthur responds in strange ways to these pressures, but I think now that Tom is up, the international monetary is out of the way. He's really got to work to the ball over something. And I'll do it again, too. But, you know, you just can't do it every day.
The only way I think you're going to get up, President, I told him to show up. Schultz is going to see him tomorrow. I don't know if he's open. But he's going to go to him and kind of lay it out. And then I think if there is an opportunity for a discussion of this in a quadrant meeting, Arthur has to put himself on record with Conway and Schultz and you. And he may not just trouble with the Friedman letter, and he's getting others like it. He's got a speech for the NBA from the Chicago banker who Arthur respected highly. He's with Michael, and the chief economist in the United States. And it just it says that the economy responded extremely well with the, every single economic indicator is good, and inflation has been rich.
Well, the difficulty, too, is that Arthur constantly gets back on throwing off on the phase two, that we're not being tough enough on labor, you know, that old song and dance again, or that we're being too tough on prices. But anyway, we'll work on it.
Well, the only thing he will respond to, I'm convinced, is fear that he may, 6 months from now, be going to buy you if the economy is doing what it should be. That's why he won't respond to Friedman, and that'll just that drives him harder into the corner.
It may.
Right. But I think if he feels that he bears that kind of a heavy responsibility to you and others know it, that's the important thing. Then he just is gonna, I just don't think he's going to fool you.
You know, I was reading a book to take a look at. I was rather interested in Broder's and Johnson's article in the Post today. It was certainly a put down listening. I mean, they put in about one sentence with regard to the fact, well, there have been perhaps some new initiatives, but it has an effect on it. Generally speaking, the country is very negative on the president and so forth and so on.
Well,
how do you analyze their
business? Well, they've been running that series all week.
Oh, I know.
And it's exactly the. They did a parallel one last year. I have not compared them, but I read last year thoroughly and analyzed them. Last year was a hell of a lot more negative than this year. In fact, they make the point of things that the country is in a more upbeat mood this year than a year ago. But their thesis, which they're trying to prove, is they, hell, I could go out and spend the time and prove the country if I wanted to. Their thesis is that the political parties have lost their friends. There are no great charismatic national leaders, but people are kind of turned off and everything. That's the theory they've been writing in their title all the time. They just go out and interview the people that help them establish their theory. I don't buy it personally. I mean, I don't think that's
true. You don't think they're...
No, I think they're proving their own... They're trying to prove their own point. I don't put that much stock because of who's doing it. I guess I'm broken as they tend to be. And I establish them to a degree. They're going to prove that the establishment isn't the founder.
Well, it'd be interesting to see the analysis of you and how others do that. I think is a better series. They are, as Ziegler was pointing out, they're really hung up on the idea of alienation. Figured it, and that we aren't, nobody really has confidence in the president. I don't know, it's a strange thing that Broder is not particularly antagonistic, he's just basically on this kick. Would you agree?
Yes, yeah, no, that's exactly it. And as I say, if you read what they wrote a year ago, you come away with it. A year ago was more gloomy than this year, in the way they wrote it. And they even acknowledged it, but I think they just want to have to prove their own conviction.
Say what?
I think they went out into the field to have interviews to prove their own preconviction. And I think they have felt that this is the position, and they go out to prove it. And as I say, you could go out and talk to their heads. Well, the Charles Kuralt series is exactly the opposite of Broder opened up in the series. So I think you can pick it. You can decide in advance what you want to portray the mood of the country as well to do that. I think the mood of the country today is a hell of a lot better than a year ago. Hell of a lot better.
Well, anyway, the main thing is what happens. I mean, with the economy and some of these other things. If they move up, the average person isn't going to be worried about the generation gap and all that sort of thing. Well, another thing that they is very interesting in their series, well, there are two things. One, which is true, the very great weakness of the Republicans. fact that the Republicans, even in our period of time, have gone down, that's something we really have to look at hard. Of course, Democrats haven't done much either, but we have gone down, independents have gone up, we lost the independents. The other thing is that their hang-up on the war, which is they say, well, if the war is still the big issue, and if they don't give the president any credit, I'm not so sure of that thesis. Harris doesn't come up with that at this time, does he?
No, he doesn't say it's the big issue, but he says that the overwhelming sentiment is against the war.
We all know that.
And that it's getting no better as the war winds down, but the war is less of an issue. A Gallup said that's full what he really said. Which, goddamn it, again, was a planted fool to the Democrats. Getting convinced that Gallup is not...
What is his line?
Well, what he said is it was an issue poll with today's papers. And he said that the economy is the prime issue. Like, we have 48% of the people consider that issue number one, down to 17% of Vietnam considered it high as an important issue. And then, but then he has the Democrats. The public believes that the Democrats are better able to handle the economic issue than the Republicans. And then he goes on to say that the Democrats also, the public believes they're better able to handle the war issue than the Republicans. Well, that's just crap.
In spite of maybe we have to take some offensive on the war. In spite of that and the China and Russia initiative and all the rest.
Yeah, but you see, that's...
Or is it the war issue in terms of Vietnam, he asked?
It's the war issue in terms of Vietnam. But also, that's an easy conclusion to get.
Yeah.
When you have... majority of when the country is, you know, there are 15 million more Democrats than Republicans. If you do a cross-section poll of that kind, but if you add if Nixon is better able to handle it than Bush, that's going to get a completely different country. So I don't think Gallup is not being helpful to us at all. That's a damn negative way. The way he structured that poll, he couldn't help but get a point of it. Harris's poll has come out of the trial each of the week. Having bounced back, as you told us it would, you gave us the figures earlier. Kennedy making no gain at all, and then goes into his second poll this week. Because he shows up beating them all.
How does he show on Muskie? What's his figures now?
This was the one he did in early November. And he pushed it for him by combining two polls. 43-39. And that compares with back in September when it was 47-35, 4 points worth.
What is it now? 40?
43-39.
Well, I think we had given us that before, hadn't we?
Right.
How does it show on Kennedy?
It shows that he's exactly the same as we were in September. 45-37 over Kennedy, and 45-36 over Humphrey. And then he goes to, that's all he has. So Lindsey and McGovern wants to get the data. They're on it. Lindsey, McGovern, and Jackson are going to try to fight.
Yeah.
Then he does a second poll, which is a very interesting analysis that Muskie will come out later. Which he points out that the agreement is very delicate, but by and large, Senator Muskie, although the clear front runner in the polls for the Democratic nomination for president in 1972, strikes most Americans as rather bland and uncontroversial.
Of course, it may be that, in a strange way, that may be the fact that a hell of a lot of people want something that's a little bit blunt, controversial at the moment, you know, sort of a need for that, Jimmy.
No, I think he is. No, I don't. I think he's the residual candidate. He's the Democrat, which everybody says, well, okay, if we can't have Kennedy, or if we can't have Jackson, or if we can't have this fellow, then we'll settle for Muskie. No, I don't think the public wanted it. No, I think you have proven this year, to me at least, conclusively, that the public wanted it wrong, forcefully. Active as president, because the increased strength that we have now compared to last summer is based on the fact that you've taken the bull by the horns every time you needed to, and every time there's been an important issue. And you've done what had to be done. And your image as a result today is a hell of a lot stronger with the people. I think that's what they want.
Well, it's an interesting thing. We'll see. Some of these events of the last 2 weeks should give us a little bit of a lift, I think.
Oh, I'm personally convinced that right now we feel a hell of a lot stronger shape than we've been any time this year. And I really think we should.
It should, if these things mean anything, because attitude can be better, the economy's a bit better. I don't think India Pakistan affected people one way or another, pretty much.
Well, I think, as a matter of fact, Mr. President, I think that Mr. Kelly did a superb job on Friday getting all of these reporters to pick up your personal book and settling. I think it may turn out to have been a plot.
Well, it may in the end,
Well, the Joe Crabs of this world will, as you wrote today, will know that you screwed everything up. But the people don't read that. The people read that there was a war and that the president.
The main thing is to get it out of the way.
The main thing is that you were personally involved in bringing it to an end. Once again, that's a strong leader stepping in. I think that can do well. The big thing, Mr. President, is that if you worry about the economy, then I just that's the only negative in the picture. And I think if that happens, I think it is. And these statistics continue well. Then I just think that I don't know where the Democrats go from. They haven't got one of them. I've been doing some work with one fellow who was and we do have one trusted man in there now. Schultz was against moving forward, and I backed away. You just raised the point that probably unbalanced.
Yeah, I know. Schultz is probably right.
I don't know what it is.
But the point is that if he feels that way that strongly, then it isn't worth doing.
Well, I almost had him persuaded. It still isn't settled. George may still come around. And if he does, fine. If he doesn't, I have had a fellow in doing some work with him. And I've discovered really very conclusively the way in which those figures have worked against him. This man is limited as to what he can do with the number of 300 units, but he's doing something. He's agreed to change a couple of procedures.
We're going to work on this money supply next week. That's the most important.
Well, I think that is the single most important thing. And
right.
I guess the one thing that we don't have settled is the Burns, kind of what he is going to do. I happen to believe in the freedom theory. I think if you put some of that money out there, that's the ballgame. It'll make it to give the economy a shot in the arm at the point that people are buying.
That's right.
And business is investment. But the money is out and the rates are down. This economy is going to stand like that.
Well, okay. We'll see what happens next week.
Fine, Mr. President. Have a good trip to Florida.